Good evening, everyone. Welcome to 645 Church. This is the third in our talks in Thinking Right About Money. Members of my family in the last week have been challenging my greed and my generosity. One of my sons came up to me earlier in the week and said, "Dad, so when are you going to sell your phone and buy a cheaper phone and give the money to Interserve?" And I thought, oh, at least he's listening to talks. And I suddenly thought, oh, but I need my phone with all its bells and smells. And then Tom on Friday came up to me and said, "Oh, can I have 10 bucks? And my usual answer jumped into my mind, "No, pay for it yourself, food, whatever it was." And then just as I looked down on my laptop, it said, "Practice generosity." And I thought, oh, I better do that. And so I hope Tom enjoyed lunch on Friday at my generous, loving outpouring. Tonight I want you to think about one thing. God loves a cheerful giver. And so I want to think about generosity with you. And so I'm going to pray that he might teach us. Dear God, we thank you that you are a generous God, and we pray that you might teach us how to be generous. Give us hearts that long to give thanks to you. We thank you that you've poured out good things on us through Jesus, and we pray that we may practice generosity with all the things that you've given us in this life. Amen. For the last 3 weeks, we've been building up a biblical framework to help us think about our possessions and our stuff and our money and our treasures. We saw that God is generous and that he gives us a whole lot of stuff in the material realm so that we don't have to worry about what we're going to eat or what we're going to wear. And he is generous to us in the spiritual realm. And last week, we saw that greed tempts us to love money and to worship money at the expense of God. Well, tonight I want to explore what I've already said. I want to explore the idea that God loves a cheerful giver. And I want to do that. Actually, can I just stop and say, hey guys, it would really help me not to chat. Tom and Grace, thank you. Okay, haven't done that before. I'm a bit distracted when people go, thank you. Okay, let me start again. I want to show you the example of our first generous person. It's someone I'm not sure if you know about. On one occasion, Jesus was sitting in the temple forecourts. Not sure if you know about the shape of the temple. There was a big courtyard where they did their business to get ready for the sacrifices. And up one end, on the way through, there was boxes where you put your collection in. And when you put the collection in, Jesus was sitting there watching the rich come in and put, you know, relative big bags of money into the boxes. And then Jesus saw a woman walk up and throw 2 copper pennies into the box. Mark tells us they were worth only a fraction of a penny. They were worth nothing. But Jesus got his disciples to himself. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Have a look at that woman. She has given more than anyone else that you have seen." Let me get Jesus' words right here. He says, "I tell you the truth, this poor woman, widow, has put more into the treasury than all others. They gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty." Now, that's the first of our cheerful givers that I want you to notice in the Bible, because she teaches us a couple of things. She teaches us that generosity is not about the size of your wallet or the size of the check that you write. It's about your heart. And she gave heaps out of the small that she had. And so Jesus commends her as a cheerful giver. Now, I want to think about generosity tonight. And I want to take you to a part of the Bible, 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. It's got some rich teaching about generosity. There's lots of parts of the Bible that help us think about being generous. But I wanted to come to this passage in particular. And I want to ask three questions that are worth thinking about. I at least want to deal with the first two in a little bit more detail for us. Here are three questions that you need to ask yourself in helping yourself be generous. The first one is this: why should we be generous? If the Bible calls us to be generous, what are the reasons that we have? How should we be generous? And the third one, which I'll scoot over at the end, and to whom should we be generous? And I want to ask ourselves the question so that we might be leave here tonight ready to be generous in the way that God encourages us to be. Let's think about the first question. Why should we give? Paul, when he writes to the Corinthians, is writing for a particular reason. The Christians in Jerusalem were experiencing drought. They would run out of food and they were really struggling. And so what Paul did, he went to some of the richer churches, the churches at Corinth, the church in Galatia and the church in Macedonia, and he was getting a collection so he could take it back to Jerusalem so the people who were struggling could get some help. The first reason he did it was because he cared for his brothers and sisters and wanted to help them. The second reason he wanted to do it was that it was a sign of unity that Jewish followers of Jesus and non-Jewish followers of Jesus were all one, and he was an expression of generosity. Well, when Paul writes to them, he gives them a few reasons why they should be generous. And the first one is this: God has been generous to you in Jesus. Now, if you really want to unleash generosity in your own heart and in your own life and through your own wallet, here is the really important point to grab hold of. Generosity is unleashed in our hearts when we recognize how God has been generous to us in Jesus. And so Paul says to the Corinthians, I'm not commanding you to give. In fact, Paul was keen to say, I don't want to beat you over the heads and say, you must pay up. But he said, I want you to desire to be generous. And then he says this sentence, which I think is the most important sentence we're going to see all night. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. And so Paul says to the Corinthians, God has been generous to you in Jesus. If you want to be motivated to be generous, Paul says, take a look at Jesus. Jesus himself was at his Father's side in the riches of the throne room of God, and he gave it up. He humbled himself. He became a person. And as a person, he was nailed to a cross for our forgiveness so that we might have the riches of eternity with him. And so Paul says, if you want a reason to be generous, remember how God has been generous to you. Take a look at Jesus. It's a critical passage that invites us to see here's the reason why we ought to be generous. God has been generous to us. He sent Jesus so that the riches of heaven could come to us through his Son. And God reminds us here that we know God has been generous to us when we have a look at Jesus. And so generosity is a matter of the heart, not a matter of the wallet. It's a matter of thankfulness when we see this is what God has done for me in his Son. And so we see the play on words between spiritual blessing and material blessing. Generosity flows from our hearts when we see God sent his Son for me. So I'll be thankful to him in the way that I'm generous. Paul has a second reason why we should give. Paul says, you're able to give, and so you should give. Paul wrote to the Corinthians because they were wealthy. And his advice to them is worth hearing because, as I argued last week, we are rich Christians living in a rich country in a rich city. And so Paul says to the Corinthians, if there is willingness in your life to give, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what they don't have. And so Paul is saying here, you ought to give as you're able to give. And you, Corinthians, you have much. And so you ought to be generous stewards of the good things that God has given to you. And Paul goes on to say, at the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. Here's the principle for us. If you've got plenty, you ought to be good stewards of the plenty and be generous with the plenty. And so I want to encourage you to see that Paul calls the Corinthians to be generous because they were able to be generous. And we see that God encourages us at this point not to be tempted by greed, which tempts us to think, oh, I don't have much money. And Jesus takes us back to that widow with her small pennies and says, it's a matter of the heart, not a matter of the wallet. Every one of you is at a good age to practice generosity, because we have much and we ought to be generous with the much that we have. Third reason why we should give, and this is a really big reason to take hold of that I think Australian Christians struggle to grasp the depth of this promise. Paul says, God will supply what you need to be generous. Now that's an extraordinary promise that's worth thinking about. Paul in this passage uses the picture of the farmer. Someone gives the farmer enough seed to sow out his field. And so that picture of the farmer, he says, God supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food. He will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Now, I want you to see what he says next. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And so Paul says, here's why you should be generous. God promises to give you what you need to be generous. Now, I reckon we struggle to live like that because we live in a city that teaches us to be self-sufficient and not generous. We live in a culture where good stewardship of our finances is an excuse not to be generous. And we're not generous because we don't trust that God will provide what we need for our daily bread. And we get up thinking we need more than our, we live thinking we need more than our daily bread, so even what I have, I better not give away just in case I need it for later or I need it for my own enjoyment now. But Paul wants to say we ought to be generous, we ought to give, because God commits himself to giving all we need in generosity. And so here is a challenge for you to trust God and practice generosity. There's a fourth reason why we should give, and I'll just touch on it lightly. Generosity results in thanksgiving. If we had more time, it's worth looking at the back half of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in which Paul says, look, when you're generous, the person that you're generous to or the people that you're generous to, they praise God. And so thanksgiving to God increases. There's a ripple effect. We thank God for his generosity to us. We give it away. That person thanks God for his generosity to us, and maybe they'll give it away too. There's a ripple effect of generosity and thanksgiving. And so there are four reasons why we should be generous with all the good things that God has been generous to us. Second question we want to ask ourselves is this. How should we give? And there are four words that come out of this double chapter that encourage us to think about how we should practice generosity. The four words are this. In our giving, we ought to be deliberate. In our giving, we ought to be cheerful. In our giving, we ought to be generous. And in our giving, we ought to be regular. Now, I want to have a look at each one of those quickly. Paul says, when you give, be deliberate. Now, for a lot of you, you're probably in the zone of thinking, oh, I've never really thought about being deliberate about generosity. But the younger you start, the easier it is to grow in the practice of generosity. If you just get a little, that's okay to be generous with a little, to be deliberate with a little. When Paul writes to the Corinthians who had a lot, he said each person should give what they've decided in their heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. There is a deliberate choice to be generous, which helps us practice generosity in our lives. Second word worth thinking about, how should we give? We should give cheerfully. Now, I hope you noticed when it was read out for us that Paul said this: each person should give what they have decided in their hearts to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, you can't just hoist cheerfulness on someone and think, yeah, I'm really happy to be generous. But in fact, generosity comes from the heart that knows God has poured out his love on me in Jesus. And so cheerfulness and thankfulness are the fruit of knowing I am loved by God and he loves me, and so I'm going to be generous with what he has given me. I'm not going to be reluctant or complaining. I'm going to be pleased to give away what I have because God was pleased to give me his son. Third word worth noticing is generously. How should we give? We should give generously. And when Paul writes to the Corinthians, he says this: you will be made rich in every way so that you can be rich on every occasion. Now, there's a promise that I think we struggle to take hold of. God provides what I need to be generous so I can be generous. And this is really asking the how much should I give question. Some Christians talk about tithing, which is really an Old Testament idea, where Israel was told, look, put 10% of your first fruits of your crops or your sheep or whatever it is that you grow, give it to the priests in the temple so that they can do the whole sacrificial thing. When Jesus came onto the scene, he rendered tithing obsolete. And so the New Testament doesn't speak about tithing, which was sort of a small bar of 10%. The New Testament speaks about being generous. It invites us to see that everything we have is God's. And I want to give my life and my talents and my time and my possessions to God. And I want to be generous as I'm able with my financial possessions that he has generously given to me. And so it's at this point that we ought to pray, God, may I be content with less and generous with more. We're asking people in our church family, and some of you have considered this, to be generous in the way that we put money aside for our church. 65% of our St. David's collection comes through direct debits these days, which is a sign for us that people are trying to be organised and people are trying to be deliberate and people are trying to be generous. We're inviting working families in our church family to work towards contributing $50 a week to the ongoing mission and activity of our staff. The staff of St. David's can do what they do because of your generosity. And we're very thankful that you free us to serve Jesus in the way that we do because you have been thoughtful and deliberate and generous. There's a fourth word worth thinking about, and I've stolen it from 1 Corinthians 16. How should we give? We should give regularly. Now, the inner accountant in me rises up and says, you should think about your budget and you should get organised. In 1 Corinthians, at a different time, Paul was writing to the Corinthians about the same collection and he gave this really good bit of advice. He said this: on the first day of the week, each of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. And so Paul is giving a good bit of advice here. Depending on how your incomes come, and incomes and jobs come in all shapes and sizes, and so the way that we can be generous comes in all shapes and sizes. But there is good advice in being regular and taking what you've decided to give out of the money that comes your way so you can be organised and deliberate in your giving. That's a comment about the collection to the saints in Jerusalem. And so Paul is saying, put a bit aside each week, and when I turn up on the scene, it won't be embarrassing. You'll be ready and you won't have to scramble for the cash or speak to your bank manager or some such thing. How should we give? We should give regularly. We should give generously. We should give cheerfully. And we should give deliberately. And whatever stage of life you're at, whether you're a student or rich or poor, whether you're a worker, I want to encourage you to practice generosity now. Because the more you practice it, the easier it gets and the more cheerful the situation becomes in your heart. Exercising the generosity in your heart will help you be generous in the kinds of ways that we've been talking about. Third question, who should we give to? I'm going to scoot over that one, but that's a really good one for us to stop and think about as a church family. New Testament gives us some clues. We should give to our local church, those who serve us and teach us God's word, and the New Testament says a lot about that. We should give to global mission. It's mission-minded people who will be generous to mission projects. Next Sunday at 5:30, we're in a great opportunity to send off the Wilkies to Central Asia. And part of them being able to go is because St. David's has said and chosen we're going to be generous with our finances to support them in that work. And the New Testament has a lot to say about being generous in love to your neighbours and those in need. And it'd be worth us thinking about as 645 Church, how can we be generous as a congregation? How can I be generous as a member of this church? I want to show you cheerful giver number two. You might know this guy, Zacchaeus. He was rich, he was greedy, and he was short. And if you've heard his story, it's a story of a heart that is changed and transformed because it meets Jesus. Zacchaeus was interested enough when Jesus was coming through the town to want to go and see him. He was short enough that he had to climb the tree. And there's an extraordinary moment in the Gospels where Jesus comes to Zacchaeus while he's up the tree and he says, "Come down, Zacchaeus, I'm going to come to your place and have dinner with you," which totally transformed his life. In that moment, Jesus was saying to Zacchaeus, "I love you, I care for you, and I want you to come into my family. I want you to come into my kingdom." Zacchaeus has a party. Some of his mates are there. And he stands up, having met Jesus, and says, "If I've ripped you off, I'm going to pay you back. In fact, I'll pay you back more. I'm going to be generous with all that I have." Meeting Jesus changed his life. And he changed from being a greedy rich man who hoarded his treasures for himself to a man who says, "I celebrate the fact that I am in God's family, in God's kingdom." Jesus stands up and says, "Today, salvation has come to this man and this house." God loves a cheerful giver. And Zacchaeus is generous as a fruit, as a result of having met Jesus face to face and being welcomed into his company. Christians are generous because Jesus has rescued us. And so I want to encourage you to practice generosity. Our prayer for these last 3 weeks goes like this: Lord, lead me not into temptation and deliver me from evil. Help me to be content with less and generous with more. Amen.